Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word Radio. It's January 27th, 2016. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States, and I'm coming to you from Central West Virginia. We're into our study today into the Word of God, that He declares when I come back void to Him, will accomplish that which He sent it to do. I want to talk to you today about some things I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart. I might not get done in one broadcast. I want to talk to you today about the most important thing in your life, and that's your relationship with God. Now, I know seemingly many days there seems to be more things that take up your time, more things that seem to be a priority, but the bottom line is that your relationship with God, our relationship with God, is the most important thing that we have. The most important thing, above family, above everything, our relationship with God, how we relate to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as the Bible says that in the last days shall be perilous times, it's here. As we spoke yesterday, the love of many shall wax cold, men deceiving and being deceived. Just the signs of the times. We are living in a different age, a different society than what even was here 10 years ago or five or even 5 years ago. Things are the earth is groaning and moaning in travail. You know, I believe the next great event is the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But until He comes, we must occupy until He comes, and we're going to need His help. He says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." So I want to title, I guess, these next couple of days, if we go 2 days in this, depends how we get along today, but what the Lord is saying unto His people. What is He speaking? And He'll always speak from His Word. He'll never speak outside of His Word. If you receive a prophecy or a word from somebody or anybody, and it does not line up with the Word of God, then, you know, I would not regard it very high, but probably get away from it, because God will always confirm His word out of the mouth of two or three, is what He says, and He'll always line up with His word. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never, ever pass away." So what is God saying to His people? And this is to help us, to give us a mindset in the days in which we live. The enemy doesn't want you focused on your relationship with God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants you to keep you running around in circles, so to speak, as the farmers used to say, trying to find a corner in a round barn. We are in perilous times. And that being said, I want to go to the first scripture, Jeremiah 29:7. Remember what God is saying to His people, what God is speaking to the hearts of His people, and even drawing the ones that do not know Him, drawing the backslider, calling out to that one that needs help, and letting them know that He's a present help in the time of trouble. In Jeremiah 29:7, He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." He said, "I think thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Verse 13, very important. "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." With all of your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy being. He is our strength today. And he says, I mean to give you good and not evil. I mean for you to have an expected end where you need not be ashamed as the enemy wants to drag you around and destroy you and shipwreck your life. God says, I'm here to put things back together again. But it does take a certain thing that we have to do. We have to present ourselves just as we are. We cannot fix ourselves, we cannot heal ourselves, we cannot save ourselves, and we certainly cannot deliver ourselves. We are not capable of this. We live in a fallen world, and we are a fallen people. And the only one that can get us back up again is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I wished above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, when we hear that word prosper, immediately we think of prosperity. And when we think of prosperity, immediately we think of money. But the Bible says, I don't, that money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. He says, I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory. The Word of God declares that God owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not bankrupt. He has more gold than Fort Knox, if there's gold there. Wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You see, the priority here is your soul, your eternal being that lives on the inside of you. The Word of God declares that the outside man dies every day, but the inside man is strengthened by the Spirit of an Almighty God from glory to glory to glory. But he says, you must seek me with all of your heart. So he's calling today. He says in the book of Revelation, he says, let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. The ecclesia, the called out ones, the separated ones, those who have chosen to serve God Almighty, those who have chosen to receive the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day we get up, we make a choice who we are going to serve that day. Paul said it this way. He said, I die daily. I die out to myself. The book of Luke says, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, he says. And what he means is take up my cross, what I've done on the cross, my power, my strength. There was a divine exchange that took place at the cross. He took our weakness and he gave us his strength. He took our sin and he gave us righteousness. Only one can do that, and that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is who we must preach. We must preach him, and we must preach him crucified. We must point people to the cross, to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Lord says, how long will my people ignore my call? How long will his callings fall on deaf ears? How long will he deal even with his people? Listen to me. The Bible says those that the Lord loves, he chastens. Just as our fathers and our mothers chastened us for our good. Not abuse, chastened. A point of correction. A point of instruction. Whereby we get out of ourselves and we listen to somebody other than our own ego and our pride and what we want. But he says, how long will my people ignore me? And I'm going to back all this up with Scripture. Psalms 13:1 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now this is the psalmist David saying, crying out that God has forgotten him. But we know that God has not forgotten us. And the Word of God says that God cries out to us and speaks to us. And the psalmist David was in dire straits. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. The Word of God says, and the psalmist didn't, at this time, in through his battles and through his many struggles, God was separated from him. He felt like God had left him. This was the psalmist David, and we feel the same way today, but God is right there, calling out to us. He says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, come now and let us reason together. This is God calling. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I mean, you can say, well, you know, I go to church, preacher. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a member of this. I hold an office in this church. I didn't. You know, we're not talking about your office or where you go to church. We're talking about your sins and our sins. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the only antidote for sin is the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, come now and let us reason. This is God calling. Let us reason together. So God is reasonable. The Bible says we serve him with a reasonable service. He is not a taskmaster. He is not a tyrant. I've heard it said that a nation will either be ruled by God or they'll be ruled by tyrants. So take it from there. And from what I can see, the United States of America is certainly, most or some of the church world is ignoring the call of God. The Word of God declares that we have to watch out and make sure we don't go about to establish our own righteousness, that we don't leave the foundation. The Word of God declares, contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints. Go you back and redig the old wells, that which God has planned. Go back to preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. In the day of modern media, we think everything is quick. We think everything is right now. But the Lord says, come and let us reason. Wait on me. Let me deal with your heart. Let me deal with your mind. Let me deal with your spirit. Let me show you what you need to let go of. Let me show you the blight in your life that is destroying you and tearing you down. This is what the Holy Ghost does. He leads us and guides us into all truth and all righteousness. He certainly does not condemn, but he will convict. That though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. For the psalmist felt separated from God. Word of God says that he spoke in his word that my sheep know my voice. Hearing from God. Now, God, he has, and he will again speak to people in audible voices. I personally never have had him speak to me in an audible voice, but I'm sure there are those that have. But the way he speaks to me and you is through this book that I hold in my hand. It's his written and inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture was inspired by God, as the holy prophets and the apostles were moved by the Spirit of God to write down the words of God. This is still the bestseller in the world. This is the only book that when you read it, it will read you. The mirror. Sometimes we don't like what we see when we look in that mirror. So he says, I've spoken that my people and my sheep know my voice. John 10:27 tells us about that he will not hear, my people will not hear a hireling. His people only hear the good shepherd. That's why the Bible says to try the spirits and see if they be of God. The Bible declares, mark those that labor among you. John 10:27 said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. If you get a chance in the next few days today, read John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed for his people, his apostles. That wonderful prayer of how the Father had delivered these ones unto his hands. He said, "Yet I call and they hear, but they choose to put me off. They choose not to hear or be moved by the word of God." In other words, sometimes God's people just flat disobey him. And Samuel told Saul, he said, "Obedience is better than sacrifice." He said, "I would have them draw nigh to me," in James 4:8, "draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded." Double-minded man is unstable in all of these ways. A man, a woman, boy or girl that does not have their mind made up is like a wave tossed about, like a grain of sand that's moved by the wind, or a leaf that blows in the wind. There's no stability there. They're moved by everything that comes into their life. But Jesus said, "I want you to live on my foundation. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that which I have built." They hear me, but yet they choose to put me off. He said, "I want them to draw nigh to me." Why? Why do we need to draw nigh to God? The Bible says, "When you see these things come to pass, look unto the hills, whence cometh your redemption." He declares in the word of God, when we see the perilous things come to face, we have to even gather more into his house. Become that three-stranded cord that it'll be impossible for the enemy to break the unity that's in the church of the living God. House divided will not stand. He says, but they push me off for the things of this world. Too involved in the things of this world. Little time for God. We live in a nation, I'm speaking for this nation, this is where I live, that is infatuated with entertainment. So much that is bled over even into the house of God, that people would rather be entertained than preached to. They'd rather leave the house of God feeling good than to have the Spirit of God speak to them and possibly show them a blight within their soul. What the psalmist David said, he said, "Search me, O Lord. Look and get rid of my imperfection. Give me a new spirit. Place within me a new heart. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He said, "My people are weighed down by this world and the cares of this," he said, "temporal life." This temporary life. When we get a hold of that where we are living now, what we are occupying now is simply a space in time. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then, according to the word of God, then comes judgment. They said, "My people are weighed down by the cares of this life." Paul told, he said, "Take heed that you be not weighed down by the cares of this life." When Jesus was speaking of the parable of the sower, he said, "Make sure that the cares of this life do not choke out my word." Now, these are warnings, not to condemn us, but to convict us, to turn us. Hebrews 12:1 said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Lay aside every weight. He says, "My people give me no time." They give me no time. You know, we tithe our money, but we don't perhaps tithe our time. I saw some posts and some quotes from the storm last week that the weather service will pronounce a winter storm and people will get ready, but preachers have been preaching for years of the coming of the Lord and still a lot of people are not ready. And it's more important that we get ready I'm not saying we don't need to prepare for natural disasters and storms, because we do, but we need to prepare in our heart. We need to receive the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his fullness. We all do. We all have squandered time, have squandered opportunities in our life. But thank God he's the God of the first, the second, the third, the fourth chance. The Bible declares his mercies are renewed every day. The God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. What did I read into you in Jeremiah 29? And when you shall seek me and find me, when you search with me with all of your heart. He says, did I not speak that my spirit would always strive with man? Genesis 6:3, we see the Lord getting ready to destroy the world. And he said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, for what he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. He says, I need, for that which I do for your own good. What he does, his chastening, and is trying to point us in a different direction, get us out of our haze, so to speak, out of our blindness, when the Bible says that blindness comes from the God of this world. For he is the God of this world, and he has many blinded. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Romans 8:28 says, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For our good. Why does he want to draw us to himself? He says, I need to prepare you for what is coming, to strengthen you. But he says, many will not come into my presence. Many will not lay aside the weights that so easily beset them. Just simply, many will not take time to hear from God. About the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, yes. But there's that alone time. There's what the old saints called the prayer closet. History records that the half-brother of the Lord James, they called him Camel Knees because he spent so much time on his knees, and his knees were flat from prayer. The Word of God declares to pray without ceasing. Prayer still changes things. We need prayer. We need somebody to lay between the porch and the altar again. We need intercessors in these last days. He says, I want to strengthen you, but you will not come into my presence. He said, I want you to be prepared. Isaiah 57:14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way. Remember I said, go back all these up with scripture. He says, cast ye up, prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. A stumbling block. What makes us stumble? What in our lives can we do without? What can we fast, so to speak, or lay aside? What can we sacrifice? The Word of God declares we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is our reasonable service. So we'll leave off there for today. And like I said, I told you before I wouldn't get this broadcast done today what I believe the Lord is saying to his people. And this is all out of his word. It's nothing new. It's the Word of God. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, ask him into your life today. If you went back on him, ask him to renew to you again the joy of his salvation. Almost David said that. Renew to me, regenerate in me the joy of your salvation. salvation. Remember what I said. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, we tried our best today, Lord. You said it would not come back void, and we just ask you, Lord, to apply these things to our lives, that our priorities would change in the days in which we live, that we live in a fast-changing world, that your prophet spoke that the spirit of the Antichrist already works in the world today, and Lord, that we would be faced with fiery trials. Shore us up today. Strengthen us, God. Give us what we need as we trust you. Lord, we repent of our sins, even as a nation. We repent of our sins and our lackluster service and our lukewarm attitudes. We ask you today to save the lost, heal the sick, open the blinded eyes, open the deaf ears, make the lame walk again, Lord, for your glory. Raise the dead for your glory. Do what needs to be done, your signs and your wonders, to show that you're still God and there's none above you. We ask you to touch each and every individual that hears this word today. Say that one is lost. Let them cry out to you and you'll save them. That they believe that God the Father raised God the Son from the grave through the quickening power of the Spirit. And by his stripes we are healed. And he was chastised for our peace of mind. We ask you today, Lord, that you move in all these areas, Father, and deal with us every day. Don't ever quit dealing with us, Lord. Don't ever leave us. Don't ever quit striving with us, Lord, because we need you. We need your guidance. We need your help. We need you more than anything. And change our priorities, Lord. And let us lay aside the weights that would keep us from being where we need to be with you. Stay tuned tomorrow, and we will continue to talk what the Lord is saying unto his people. God bless you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthinthword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.